990 WDEO, Ypsilanti, Detroit, or on the internet at WDEO.net.
Cresta in the Afternoon is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
With the New York Times in one hand and the Catechism of the Catholic Church in the other, Al Cresta is ready for conversations of consequence.
The world is changing.
Christians executed in a mass beheading.
A gunman opened fire on two young journalists.
Fairly alarmed here.
Celebrations erupted on the steps of the Supreme Court.
They succeeded in painting us as irrational bigots.
More people are exercising freedom from religion.
It's a tough time, but it's a great time to be Catholic in America.
Broadcasting from the studios of Ave Maria Radio in Ann Arbor, Michigan, and taking a closer Catholic look at current events, issues, and ideas. This is Cresta in the Afternoon.
Al, you are doing great work.
It's a wonderful afternoon program.
I love it.
Let us go in peace to love and serve the Lord.
Who's coming with me?
Anyone? Anyone?
And here we go.
And a good afternoon to you. I'm Al Cresta. I thank you for joining me today. People scared about Wall Street, the Dow was down 565 earlier today, a real plunge, but it recovered about half of that. Now it was down 247 by day's end. We're going to talk with George Schwartz from Schwartz Investment Counsel, Inc. about this. George frequently joins us when we discuss finance issues here on the program. And, I mean, people want to know, this has been a tough year. In fact, the last year has been difficult on our 401ks. It's been, and people want to know the answer, why? Is it what's going on in China? Is it because there's still a lot of money on the sidelines in America and people are still too skittish about investing it? What is it that is causing, do we still have toxic assets all over the place that people are trying to sell off? Who knows? George does this full-time. He'll look at it with us and help us understand whether what we can expect in the relatively near future. That's coming up later today on Cresta in the Afternoon. Also, you may have heard these stories about transplanting human cells into various types of animals. You know, some research centers in the United States are trying to grow human tissue inside pigs, inside sheep. What they're doing is they're hoping to create organs that they can use for transplants. And the National Institutes of Health announced last fall that it's not going to support these studies because it is concerned and fears what are called human-animal chimeras. Basically, could develop an altered cognitive state with human brain cells down the road. Father Tad Poholchek of the National Catholic Bioethics Center is going to join us. What are the ethics of this, first of all? You got two things. You got the ethical question about whether this is the kind of experimentation that affirms human dignity or violates human dignity. And then you have the second question about the plausibility of the experiment. Is it possible? So we're going to talk with Father Tad about that. And then in the second hour of today's program, we take a look at one of the most influential American men of the 20th century, but a man who is often forgotten. It's Russell Kirk, publisher, author of The Conservative Mind, a book that published in 1953 was considered foundational in the rise of the post-World War II conservative movement. The best-known figure from this movement is probably Bill Buckley and his journal National Review. Well, he's the late Bill Buckley. Russell has also passed on. But what we have now is an outstanding biography of Russell Kirk by Bradley Berzer. And Brad has been following Kirk's intellectual development throughout most of his professional life as well. So we're going to sit down with him. You're going to love the interview. Brad is a very engaging guest. So that's coming up in the second hour of today's Cresta in the Afternoon. I have a few comments about Sarah Palin's endorsement of Donald Trump and Donald Trump's vow that he's going to protect Christianity around the world. and some of the silly discussion about him, quote, misquoting scripture. But first, we get to today's headlines with Nick Tom.
Thank you very much. I'll welcome everyone. This is your Ave Maria Radio News for Wednesday, January 20th. It is the feast of St. Sebastian the Martyr, and today's news is brought to you in part by the St. Gregory Center for Drug and Alcohol Rehab at stgregoryctr.com. Satellite photos confirm what Middle East church leaders had feared. ISIS has destroyed the oldest Christian monastery in Iraq. St. Elijah's Monastery stood as a place of worship for 1,400 years and was even used by U.S. troops. The 27,000-square-foot structure was built in 590 on a hill above Mosul and had 26 distinctive rooms, including a sanctuary and a chapel. ISIS has now destroyed more than 100 religious and historic structures, including mosques, shrines, and churches. Meanwhile, nearly 3,000 people have been killed by Russian airstrikes in Syria, Albina Kolova reports.
That's according to the Syrian Observatory for Human Rights. The observatory says that only 893 IS members were killed in the strikes. Russia has said it's targeting IS and other terror groups in Syria. However, the West has said they are also targeting Syrian President Bashar al-Assad's opposition, some of which are backed by the West. Russia has said it's willing to work with the international community to combat terrorism. Albina Kovalyova, Moscow.
As Al mentioned earlier, stocks made a late rally before the closing bell. The Dow Industrial Average closed down about 150 points after it dropped 500 points earlier. Stocks are sharply lower as crude oil prices continue to slide. Earlier in the day, the Nasdaq was down more than 3%, while the S&P 500 was down more than 2.5%. The Vatican is offering shelter to a homeless woman who gave birth near St. Peter's Square. The 35-year-old Romanian started going into labor early Wednesday morning in a square just yards from the Vatican. An Italian policewoman who helped deliver the newborn tells Italian media that it was near freezing at the time. Pope Francis's top charity official is familiar with the new mother and visited her in the hospital, where he offered a year of free accommodation in a church-owned apartment. And a number of religious groups are working together to provide drinking water to the people of Flint, Michigan. The city is suffering through a crisis of lead contamination in the water supply. Catholic Charities is passing out food and bottled water. The Flint Jewish Federation is collecting water and water filters. And many other churches are taking part in those efforts. And now your fascinating fact for the day. A pigeon's feathers are heavier than its bones. Reporting for Ave Maria Radio News, I'm Nick Tom.
And good afternoon, I'm Al Cresta. Number of things in the news, but I want to come to something more basic. Tomorrow, in the second hour of the program, I'm going to spend some time talking about where to begin on the question of religious liberty. In my conversations off air, I'm finding fewer and fewer people are able to sustain a conversation on some of the most important aspects of our faith as Catholics. And I, especially when it comes to issues of culture. So, for instance, many people have forgotten the tradition, the history, the way we tell the story of how our faith interpenetrates American life and culture. And there's been a strong redefinition of Catholic presence in America as being part of a political movement. And the problem with this is that within the framework of historic Catholic thought, politics is always a secondary matter. The real issue is the new society, the new community that Christ is building called the church, the body of Christ. And, of course, as members of the body of Christ, as disciples of Jesus, we have a responsibility to be good citizens, and so we participate in our society. And we, for the most part, I think we vote, unless the situation has gotten so grim we cannot vote for a particular candidate in good conscience. But the problem is, if you don't if you simply are taking your cues from the surrounding political debate, you end up sounding like Sarah Palin sounded in her endorsement of Donald Trump. I have no problem with her endorsing Donald Trump. That's purely her option. On Friday, we're going to listen to some of the way she did it. But here's my point. None of these candidates are messianic figures. To look at them as strongmen who are going to come in and fix America is a form of idolatry. They are not messianic figures. To build them up in that way diverts attention from the work that really has to be done, which is the American people themselves need to take seriously their citizenship and understand what these issues are about. So, for instance, in Mr. Trump's case, he's now vowed to protect Christianity. Well, I'm glad to hear that. I mean, that needs to be done. Christianity is under siege around the world, and in the past, this would have gotten a little more response from the federal government than it is getting today, unfortunately. However, he's said nothing about, outside of a little bit he's said on the war on Christmas, he really hasn't addressed the more difficult issues of the Obama administration's Health and Human Services mandate. He doesn't show any real awareness of the different sides of the debate on separation of church and state and what that actually means in practice. So to have a woman who's known as she used to be known anyways as a Christian leader. I think maybe that's past. She's now known more as a political leader. But to have someone begin to talk about Donald Trump as in a messianic way is not merely to endorse the candidate, which is fine, but it's to inflate expectations and to become something of a caricature or a cartoon. I feel this way about all the candidates. We saw it happen with Obama in the last election. The left was talking about him as the great savior who's going to reconcile black-white tensions in America, who's going to make America beloved around the world. And we saw what happened when the president went ahead and tried to do that. He went out and said in Muslim-dominated countries, we're not going to be so arrogant in the future. We're going to really bring peace on earth. No, he didn't have the power to do it then, and Mr. Trump will not have the power to do it. We need to start talking policy, not people. When we elect people, it's about what they will do with the power they're entrusted with in their office, not about their personality. It's about the skill they have in the art of the possible. Politics is the art of the possible. It's not the art of the ideal. And when we expect the ideal from our political leaders, when we expect them to restore Christian America or make America great again, those of us who are, been around for a generation understand that we've been hearing that said. Nixon said it. Carter said it in a certain subdued tone, but he said it. He had a moralistic understanding of America. Reagan certainly said it. George H.W. Bush didn't need to say it because it was widely thought that Reagan had settled that question. But you heard Clinton say it, coming from the left side of the political spectrum. You heard George W. say it. And you heard Barack Obama say it, but again, in a very different type of way. In his mind, America was the international nation, and he wanted to make it great. Always be suspicious of that kind of thing. These are messianic claims. It can't be done. The question is, what are these candidates going to represent? when it comes to vexing issues of immigration, protection of unborn human life, religious liberty in America. What are they going to do? What are their expectations about America's use of military around the world? How do they look at the economy and America's trade policies? These are not sexy things to talk about, are they? I mean, they're kind of grunge matters. But if you don't sit down and actually do the homework on it, it's easy to get a snow job. And if you watch these candidates in action frequently, their campaign rhetoric doesn't disclose very much of where they stand in these areas. Basically, it's cliche after cliche after cliche after cliche. So that's, again, fine for her to endorse Mr. Trump. I've got no problem with that. I do have a problem with this vision of the strong man. It's not like a South American dictator, for heaven's sake. We got to get the strong man in here, and he'll fix everything for us. It makes me think I'm living in Colombia or something. All right. Let's. By the way, Trump did got unnecessary criticism for his calling 2 Corinthians 3:17, 2 Corinthians 3:17. It's true. Most people who use the Bible regularly don't say 2 Corinthians. They say 2 Corinthians. That's clearly the common way to say it. But on occasion, people do say it. It doesn't necessarily mean insincerity or it's a little awkward sounding. But look, I've heard it said in pulpits, 2 Thessalonians, right? 2 Corinthians. So I think people who jumped on him for that were doing him a disservice. And if he wants to protect Christianity around the world, fine, like to hear more about it. But I'm more interested in him talking to me how he's going to look at the relationship between church and state here in the United States. That's a much more difficult area to discuss things. Did you hear, let me see if I have this material right in front of me here. Yes, we've got this Steelers receiver, Antoine Randall L. He's a father, man of faith. And he's now decided that he would not play football again. Three things he says in my life: faith in God, family, and then football, or your job, whatever it is. And I think what's fascinating is that he is now part of a growing number of professional players who are questioning whether they would go back and play again. 10 years after he threw one of the most celebrated passers in Steelers history, he says he has trouble walking downstairs. You know, I have to come down sideways sometimes, depending on the day. He's 36 years old. Going up is actually easier than coming down. This guy apparently was an outstanding athlete, versatile athlete. And this question of neurological damage in football is not going away. And the movie Concussion has brought it back into the public spotlight again. But we're going to talk with Father Patrick Kelly in, I think, next week about a Catholic's approach to sports from medieval times right up to modern times. And we'll look at this question of modern football.
Hi, this is Sally Cresta. My husband Al and I have sent our children to Spiritus Sanctus Academies for over 15 years. One of our sons is a graduate and teaches there. We were drawn by the truth and beauty of the Dominican tradition, educating the whole child, spiritual, physical, intellectual, and social. Come and see the schools where the program Education and Virtue originated.
Please join us at our next open house scheduled for February 3rd. Mass begins at 8 a.m. with the open house running until 2:30 at both Plymouth and Ann Arbor locations.
Are you annoyed by talk of immigration and gun control? Are you already annoyed at the political commercials? Hi, I'm Dan Hall from Pinckney Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, and you can relax and enjoy peace and quiet away from the noise in your new 2016 or certified pre-owned Jeep, Ram, Chrysler 200, SUV, or Dodge Dart that gets up to 40 miles per gallon for as low as $139 per month during our Auto Show Bonus Day sale going on now. Only at Pinckney Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram or visit us online at PinckneyChrysler.com.
Charity Mobile is the only pro-life mobile phone corporation. LifeSite News recently featured Corporate Watchdog Second Vote and their research of corporations that fund Planned Parenthood. The article concluded that only 7 corporations are ranked as being pro-life, while 234 corporations have abortion-supporting scores. Charity Mobile is one of the seven pro-life corporations and the only mobile phone company. 5% of your monthly talk plan price goes to the pro-life charity of your choice, and there are no contracts, no termination fees, and no risk with your 30-day trial. Call 877-474-3662 or go to CharityMobile.com today. Mention Ave Maria Radio and get a free 4G LTE smartphone plus free activation and free shipping. Life is calling. Take it with you. Call 877-474-3662 or go to CharityMobile.com today.
Republicans, Democrats, no matter which political party is in office, there are always investment opportunities to be found. The Ave Maria Mutual Funds won't compromise the moral beliefs of its investors. Ave Maria Mutual Funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. The portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and moral values. Call toll-free 866-AVE-MARIA or at AveMariaFunds.com.
Schwartz Investment Counsel, Inc., a registered investment advisor established in 1980, serves as an investment advisor. All mutual funds are subject to market risk, including possible loss of principal. To obtain performance through the most recent month-end and a prospectus, which includes objectives, risks, fees, expenses, and other information that you should read and consider carefully before investing, the number is 1-866-AVE-MARIA or at AveMariaFunds.com. Distributed by Ultimus Fund Distributors, LLC.
This is Father Frank Pavone of Priests for Life. On January 22nd, the day of the March for Life in Washington, D.C., various religious groups, including Priests for Life, will gather for the annual National Interdenominational Prayer Service honoring the preborn and their mothers and fathers. This service, which starts with a Mass, has been held for over 20 years and takes place in Constitution Hall. This year, we will welcome singer Tony Melendez, who became famous when he played the guitar with his feet on the occasion of the visit of Pope John Paul II to the United States. Tony is a strong witness to the value of life, even when beset with various disabilities. His strong spirit and beautiful music will be sure to inspire you. See more details at nationalprayerservice.com. This is Father Frank Pavone on Ave Maria Radio.
To. I'm Al Cresta, thanking you for being here. You may be unaware of it, but there has been a movement throughout the globe, in fact, by scientists to find a way to grow human replacement organs in other animals. What they do is they use human stem cells, and they're looking to kind of grow these stem cells in harmony with, in one case, mouse embryo cells. And they then the ultimate goal is to produce adult animals with human organs that can be transplanted. Now, there's, of course, as you might imagine, this has generated a lot of debate, and the federal government, the National Institutes of Health in particular, declared a moratorium in late September on funding this kind of research. I've asked Father Tad Poholchik to join us today. He is Director of Education at the National Catholic Bioethics Center and author of Making Sense of Bioethics. It's a column that appears in diocesan newspapers around the country. Father Tad earned his doctorate in neuroscience from Yale University, and it's great to have you with me again, Father. Thanks.
Well, great to join you, Al.
Well, give me your impression of this research. Questions about the stem cells that are being used, I'm sure, questions about the human-animal interaction, and then the plausibility of the goal. Take us
through
this.
Yeah, I mean, this is a complicated area. It's a new area that's really not a lot is known about, and that's part of the reason that the scientists are pushing, you know, to move into this new domain.
Mm-hmm.
You're right to ask about the source of the stem cells, because basically what they do is they take an animal embryo. Let's say you mentioned the mouse. It could also be, for example, a pig or a sheep. and they have the knowledge to be able to inactivate the genes in those animals, let's say, that would make a liver.
Mm-hmm.
So those animals can grow in utero without the presence of a liver or without the presence of a heart for a short time. And if they then add in human stem cells to the very, very early pig embryo mm-hmm. or sheep embryo or mouse embryo, there's a kind of complementation that takes place where these cells kick in and start to make that organ that is missing.
So that organ is that organ then human or pig?
Well, it appears that it will be driven in part by kind of human genetic commands,
mm-hmm.
if you will.
Okay.
So the hope is that what you would end up with would be predominantly human, maybe even to the point that it could be used for transplantation into a human being. Now, the type of stem cells that they use here to do this could, in theory, be the ones that you get out of embryos, which, of course, raises serious moral concerns, but could also be a different source. You could actually get these cells by taking a patient's own skin cells and reprogramming them into stem cells.
Okay.
There's a trick for doing that, and once you've done that and gotten the patient's own stem cells that are the same variety, really, as the embryonic ones, in other words, they're very, very flexible, you put that into the pig embryo, and you're off and running. And then, you know, for that particular patient who donated those skin cells to start this whole thing out, well, the idea would be that if you made a heart in the pig, that that heart would have the same immunological characteristics and shouldn't be rejected when you put it back into the donor's body.
A human being.
So, the human being.
Yeah, yeah. Now,
so it's a clever idea.
It is. Let's go to the ethics of dangers, ethics and the dangers of it. Is there anything ethically wrong, assuming, again, we're not using embryonic stem cells here, is there anything ethically wrong with this kind of human, non-human cooperation?
I think that there are definite risks, and the scientists are clearly concerned about these. One of them is the possibility that, look, if we use a pig and we're growing a human heart, could there be some kind of transfer of viruses, pig viruses,
yeah.
specific to
yeah.
pigs, and now they mutate and they enter the human heart, and then we transplant this heart into a human, and the human gets some new weird
yeah.
disease.
Yeah.
Definite
sure.
possibility. We have had animal-to-human transfer, you know, avian bird flu, that kind of thing
mm-hmm.
that has happened in the past. And so that's something that I think is going to require a lot of work to make sure that we don't pose that risk to future transplant patients.
Assuming that there's no risk of disease transfer, is there any inherent problem, though? You know what I'm saying? I mean, is there something wrong with crossing kingdoms like that, human, animal? I mean, we eat animals.
Right, right. And we certainly do make use of the animal kingdom
yeah.
For various other purposes.
Sure.
You know, we make clothing out of them, et cetera.
Yeah.
And that doesn't raise a fundamental problem as long as we don't cross certain lines. I mean, you know, there has been concern articulated about, well, what if we start putting cells that will generate brain cells
right.
into a sheep?
Right.
Now, a sheep, you know, has a head that's you know, big enough that you might begin to ask, well, gee, could those human cells, as they were growing in as part of the sheep brain, make something or someone, you know, that would have some kind of consciousness? You know, is there any danger of that? That's part of the reason that the NIH issued this kind of moratorium on this type of research for funding. There's a little bit of, you know, uncertainty about how far you could push this
mm-hmm.
and what kinds of things might happen. But, you know, if you're doing things like generating a liver for people who maybe lost their liver to liver cancer, you know, or a heart or some organ like that, the problems don't appear to be ethically as significant. Now, you know, I'll just mention one other area that there could be concerns, which would be the whole area of doing growing something like even genitalia in animals and doing a transplant into humans. That, you know, raises some other ethical concerns mm-hmm. as well.
Mm-hmm.
So there's certain tissues that we want to, you know, be careful about messing around with when sure. we get into the biology here.
Sure. I mean, this is, it is fascinating. I think with most people, when they hear about this, there's the ick factor. It kind of grosses them out at first. Then the second step back and say, gee, that sounds kind of scary. But then I think it dawns on folks that we don't have enough organs for transplantation. And, you know, every 30 seconds of every day that passes, there's a person that dies that could be cured by using tissues or organs for transplantation. At least that's been said. So if this can be done without any violation of human dignity, it doesn't seem to me that this is that we should shun it out of hand.
Yeah. You know, I mean, I would agree with that general approach. I mean, you're right, there's an ick factor, and people say, oh, this is a little bit Frankenscience type stuff, and, you know, goodness, isn't this a misuse of the animals? But, you know, I don't think it is intrinsically in any sense. The animal kingdom is there, as we pointed out earlier, to serve the valid types of interests of humanity.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we shouldn't be torturing animals. Right. We shouldn't be mistreating them. But if we can make use of them in ways that serve genuine human, good human purposes, like curing diseases, you know, that doesn't raise any fundamental ethical problems. So I think we should be open to a kind of careful approach that looks at this and tries to go forward in an ethically informed way.
Yeah.
And, you know, again, you know, the stem cells, the source of the stem cells would be another aspect of this, because there are some scientists who are saying, well, we should just use human embryos,
yeah.
get the stem cells out of those, et cetera.
Yeah.
And immediately the red flag should go up in all of our minds
right.
when we hear those kinds of proposals.
Yes, I think with most of our listeners here, that's a settled issue that church is teaching on. This is settled in their mind. Some people, I know one bioethicist has said that the engineering of creatures that are partly human and partly non-human is objectionable on the grounds that this blurs the distinctions between these animals and would introduce moral confusion in our existing relationships with non-human animals and in our future relationships with these creatures that may have contributed a human liver. I mean, I have to say, I don't – I guess that raises problems, but I don't think those are impossible to navigate through.
Yeah, I would agree. I mean, I think we do manipulate the animal kingdom in a lot of different ways. When we do, for example, selective breeding pets, of cattle, of race horses, you know, even the proposal to clone race horses has been made, because some of these racehorses seem to have a unique profile, and if you could make an identical twin, well, we say, you know, I guess if people want to do that, if they really think there's a need to have a super fast horse, then we don't, you know, we don't stop them. We don't say that this is something that's intrinsically unethical.
Right.
So I think that's the general approach here, that we are able to manipulate the animal kingdom. And here, I don't think it's a blurring, really, of lines between humanity and the animal. We would just say, look, we have a chimeric animal.
Yeah.
We have an animal that's carrying a human organ that we have engineered, and this is for a very, very important purpose of saving someone's life.
Right.
That we've done this for valid organ transplantation purposes.
It is interesting. The question of how would it ever be determined? I guess I'm not very, you know, this is not research I've engaged in, but I'm just wondering, you mentioned, for instance, the possibility of disease, transfer of disease. How would you be able to determine that these organs would be free of any pig or sheep influence like that?
Yeah, that would require some very careful genetic testing of viruses, yeah. And that technology does exist and is improving.
Okay, very good. Father, thank you so much. How can people stay abreast of your work?
They can check out our website, which is NCB Center, for National Catholic Bioethics Center, .org.
All right.
O-R-G.
Thanks, Father. Great talking with you again.
Thanks so much, Al. God bless.
The mystery of death has troubled and fascinated humanity since the beginning of time. Our own experiences of mourning deceased family members and friends teach us the deep longing of the human heart for hope in the face of death. Many Catholics have lost a clear sense of how to face this experience with faith and peace. Planning funeral services in advance is not only a gift to our family and friends, but it is an affirmative way to embrace our own call to resurrection. Please take this time to call your local parish or diocese about pre-planning your cemetery and funeral rites. This message brought to you by Catholic Management Services.
This Ave Maria radio program is brought to you in part by St. Gregory Retreat Centers, the new standard for recovery. St. Gregory Retreat Centers offers substance abuse treatment options using traditional Catholic teaching about virtue and access to daily Mass and reconciliation, combined with the latest evidence-based practices in substance abuse. More information is available at 888-778-5833 or online at stgregoryctr.com.
On our next program, Archbishop Alan Vigneron will be our first speaker as we complete our coverage of the Archdiocese of Detroit's Life is a Gift Conference.
This is always the vocation of the lay faithful, because in this democracy, it is the people who rule, and it belongs to us to shape the civil order. Specifically today, this then is the vocation of restoring the right to life. We are at a moment when this right not simply has to be defended, but it has to be vindicated.
This is Henry Root, your host for Putting on the Mind of Christ. Archbishop Alan Vigneron called the attendees to holiness and to witness to the gospel of life. And before we close the coverage, Dr. Michael Kinney takes a legal look at when life begins. Listen to Putting on the Mind of Christ this Sunday afternoon at 3, encoring Saturday afternoons at 6 on 990 WDEL, 1440 WMAX, and AveMariaRadio.net on the Internet.
Cresta in the Afternoon is underwritten in part by Charity Mobile. Communication is critical. And in today's world, your cellular service is your lifeline to family and friends. Ave Maria Radio and Charity Mobile are partners in communicating the most important message of all, the good news of Jesus Christ. Charity Mobile is a provider of cellular LTE phones and service and has been a proud supporter of Ave Maria Radio and other pro-life causes for more than 10 years. More information at CharityMobile.com. Charity Mobile. Charity begins at phone.
Here's a Family Minute with child psychologist Dr. Ray Guarendi from Ave Maria Radio.
Are kids more mature nowadays than they used to be? I hear that all the time. These kids nowadays, they're growing up so fast. They're so much more mature than we used to be. I don't think that's it. Oh, I do believe they're growing up more quickly. I do believe they're being exposed to a lot more than even just one generation ago was. But there is a big difference between maturity and worldliness. Oh, I think children are much more worldly now than they used to be, to their own detriment, to their own long-term disadvantage. I don't think they're any more mature. As a matter of fact, I think they're less mature. If you describe maturity as self-control, initiative, responsibility, respect for others, manners, civility, then as worldliness goes up, maturity goes down. It's a very simple inverse relationship. What happens when you are attempting to teach maturity and not allow your children to be more worldly than their age dictates? You will be out of step as a parent with an awful lot of parents out there who are allowing their children to be much more worldly, but not much more mature. Are kids growing up faster? Yes, they are, in many negative ways. Are they growing up faster characterologically? I don't think so. I'm Dr. Ray.
Good afternoon, I'm Al Cresta. Well, earlier today, the Dow plunged as low as, well, they went down 565 points at one point, and However, it closed down 247, so it made back roughly half. But these are terrible. Dow's looking terrible right now. And it's been going on, well, last year was a tough year. This whole year has been looking pretty grim. And I thought it was time to ask George Schwartz to come in here and give us some understanding of what's happening. George is one of our go-to guys when it comes to taking a look at the market. He is founder, chairman, and CEO of Schwartz Investment Counsel and chairman and CEO of the Ave Maria Mutual Funds, the author of two books, Shareholder Rebellion and Good Returns. And you can always visit him at schwartzinvestment.com or AveMariaFunds.com. George, good to have you back. Thanks.
Thank you, Al. Great to be with you again.
This, you've been watching this closely, I know. It's grim. I mean, we had in 2008, we had that terrible crash, and it was due, people said, to toxic assets related to the housing market. What is this plunge due to that we've been seeing either this year or really going back an entire year?
Yeah. Well, unfortunately, we're in a bear market, Al, and that doesn't mean it's the end of the world.
Right.
But bear markets typically last 10 to 20 months. This one's been going on for 6 or 7 months already.
Okay.
The market peaked out in the middle of last year, and I would contend that we're more than halfway through this bear market.
Okay.
And the market, the bear markets last about 20 months if it's accompanied by a recession, and about 10 months if there's no recession. And our best research indicates that there will not be a recession this time.
Okay.
There'll be some very slow growth, just like it has been slow growth since the current administration took office, less than 2% per year. And it might drop to 1% per year, in part because of the negative wealth effect. You know, when the stock market's going up, people feel more wealthy and they spend more, stimulate the economy.
Right.
When the market's gone down so drastically, like it has the last 2 weeks, there's a negative wealth effect. So it affects consumer spending and overall economy.
Okay.
But the causes of this economic slowdown and bear market, in my view, are really four causes. They all start with the letter C.
Okay.
China, commodities, consumers, and confidence.
Oh, I thought you were going to say crude.
So well, crude comes under the commodities.
Okay, all right, go ahead.
And China is a big driver. We spoke about China back in August, I think, and how China seemed to be coming apart at the seams, and since then it's only accelerated.
Yeah.
You know, their numbers are always cooked. You can't believe the numbers they put out for economic growth or unemployment or anything.
These are always, for their purposes, political numbers, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But clearly, their economy overexpanded. They took on a lot of debt and built infrastructure in an unbelievable fashion, and in the process, consumed a lot of commodities, including steel and oil, and drove the price up on a lot of those things. Well, as their economy has been unraveling, their demand for a number of commodities, including oil, has been diminished significantly.
So they're not building like they used to.
No, they overbuilt. They overexpanded, and they built too much capacity into their manufacturing economy. They've tried to shift to a consumer-based economy, but without much luck so far.
And that's because there's not much wealth among the people, right? I mean, in other words, you have to have money to buy things.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And the government was borrowing money to build their infrastructure, and as they were bringing people in from the hinterlands into the cities, they were building apartment buildings and hotels and factories. But they clearly overexpanded and stepped out too far on the infrastructure expansion curve.
Okay.
But so speaking of oil, which is one of the commodities which has been in the tank so badly, you layer in on top of that the U.S. phenomenal development of hydraulic fracking, which has made the U.S. today the biggest supplier of oil and natural gas in the world. It's just a phenomenal development.
Yeah.
So the capacity or the supply is higher than ever. The U.S. has surpassed Saudi Arabia now as the biggest producer of hydrocarbon energy.
Wow. So it's the U.S. step taking, finally becoming somewhat energy independent that's allowed us to drive down the price of oil like this?
And it has driven down the price of oil, that excess supply. Okay. And the slow economy has meant that the slowing economy has meant that there's not as much demand as was previously anticipated. So the price of oil has dropped precipitously, you know, from $100 a barrel not long ago down to $27, $28 a barrel today.
Now, does that change? So gas prices have gone down. It cost me a lot less to fill my tank than it did 2 years ago.
Yep.
Am I spending more money on consumer products as a result? In other words, I'm saving money. But is that going into the economy, you know what I'm saying,
I know. The statistics are showing that the consumers are better off because of the drop in the price of gasoline, but they're not spending the money. They're saving it or paying down debt or paying off credit cards, deleveraging, which has been going on for a few years now, which is all positive. But that has had the effect of hurting the retail sector.
Gotcha.
Because they're not spending in stores and so forth, and then I also think there's a factor of fear of terrorists in the malls and so forth. So
yeah.
People are shopping more online now, so they're not going to the crowded places anymore. And that's a significant factor in the overall economy. Consumer spending, you know, is about 2/3 of the total GDP.
Okay,
and when that's not growing, it it's significant. And that all plays into the fourth C, confidence. You and I have talked about confidence as being so important in a capitalistic economy like ours. And confidence is weak in so many areas. Consumer confidence, which we talked about, but and corporate decision makers, their confidence is not high. They're worried about spending money or investing money to build plant and equipment.
Yeah.
If they can't see a productive use for those resources.
Yeah. So they're still sitting on money that they've got.
Pardon me?
They've got money, but they're not investing it. I mean, they're still sitting on it.
Corporate America is awash in liquidity, awash in cash. Some of it's overseas, but domestically there's an enormous amount of cash in corporate coffers. And they're using it largely now to buy back stock or pay dividends.
Yeah.
They don't have confidence that they can effectively deploy that capital to build plant equipment and hire people. And that goes to the confidence factor of investors. Investors don't have confidence that the economy is on the right track and that and they know Washington's on the wrong track, which leads us to the upcoming election this year.
Yeah.
And
do you, from the standpoint of Wall Street, is there a particular Republican candidate that they'd be happy with?
That's a tough question, Al. I'm not an expert on the political side of things, but as a pro-life activist, I want to see a pro-life president.
Sure.
As a student and practitioner of economics and markets, I want to see a pro-growth president.
Right.
So my guess is that a Rubio or Cruz would be most acceptable to Wall Street generally. They're both pro-growth. They're both pro-life.
Yeah.
And I'd be happy to see either one of them. But
what do you think from the standpoint of business? What's Donald Trump about as a candidate? You know, I mean, much is made of his wealth and his you know, he's a businessman and all this. But I don't know if that has any cachet on Wall Street.
I don't think so.
Okay.
I think he's such a blowhard. And,
that's pretty strange, George.
I don't know if he's a bigger narcissist than Obama or not, but they might be tied.
Okay.
But they really have a high opinion of themselves, that's for sure.
Yeah.
And I don't think he's... it's going to be interesting to see how these upcoming votes go.
Yeah.
I'm wondering if the polling is telling the same story that we'll see on the actual votes.
Right.
You know, in the caucus in Iowa and then the primary in New Hampshire.
Yeah.
I have a hunch maybe Trump's not going to look so good after those votes.
After the election.
But who knows?
Themselves.
I'm guessing.
Yeah, I know. It's one of the stranger. This is one of the stranger primary campaigns. It may be the strangest primary campaign I've seen.
I bet. Yeah.
You know, you got a socialist running against Hillary Clinton. I mean, who would have thought that in America, a man who identifies himself as a socialist could give a former first lady a run for her money? I mean,
yeah.
it's really a crazy season.
Maybe it shows you how weak Hillary is as a candidate.
Yeah, I think.
But I know she was very happy to have Planned Parenthood endorse her candidacy.
Yes.
The first time in 100-year history of Planned Parenthood they've ever endorsed a presidential candidate.
Wow.
And as they're reporting that they're averaging over 1,000 abortions per day.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And Hillary is in lockstep with them and
she
supports
is.
Them strongly.
Absolutely.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. Yeah, she's a champion of abortion rights. She doesn't just tolerate it; she's a champion.
Oh, absolutely!
Just like President Obama has been. So, when you look at this, you're thinking we'll probably avoid a recession. Then
I think we'll avoid a recession, and I think there'll be great buying opportunities sometime during the first half of this year.
Okay,
I think the bear market will end, and of course, as we know. After every bear market, what happens? A bull market starts.
Exactly. Yeah.
By definition.
Yeah, yeah.
So
sit tight. For those of us who don't know how to buy and sell, sit tight, right?
I think so. And our Catholic mutual funds, the Ave Maria mutual funds, of course, avoid companies that support abortion and pornography. And they've done quite well.
Mm-hmm.
In a
very difficult economy.
Yes.
So
yes.
Tell people again, in case they're unaware of that, the criteria that you use for investments and the companies you avoid.
Sure.
We got
sure.
about 45 seconds.
Okay. Yeah, we have this Catholic advisory board that is in turn advised by Cardinal Maida, retired Archbishop of Detroit. But they've asked us to screen out certain types of companies, abortion being the big one.
Okay.
Any company that's engaged in abortion in any manner is
George,
out.
George, give people a way of contacting you.
Sure. They can call us at 866 Ave Maria or online at AveMariaFunds.com.
All right. George, thanks so much. Always good talking with you.
Okay, Al. Nice talking with you.
I'm Al Cresta.
When you're looking for care for a loved one and you want them to remain independent and living at home, Visiting Angels is ready to serve. Visiting Angels franchises provide the compassionate, professional caregivers needed to deliver the best home care available. You may select your caregiver before service begins. Services include bathing, dressing, errands, light housekeeping, meal preparation, and more, up to 24 hours each day. With over 500 franchised offices nationwide, Visiting Angels is America's choice in senior home care. Employment opportunities and caregiving for Visiting Angels are available. You'll receive the support needed to fulfill your goal of achieving a caring career. Franchise opportunities are also available. Call today at 877-374-LIVE or visit us online at visitingangels.com. That's 877-374-LIVE. Visiting Angels at 877-374-LIVE. Each office is independently owned and operated.
I'm Reno Frazetta, founder of Smart Money Financial Advisors. A few months ago, I said that this year would look very different than the last year as far as the investment climate. And although things already have been pretty different, I believe this is the tip of the iceberg, that we're in the early stages of a major decline that'll be reminiscent of the last financial crisis. And the only difference is that this time, things may not come back as quickly as they did the last time. And my question to you is, are you going to take action to protect everything that you've worked for, or are you just going to wing it and then hope and pray that everything comes back for you? You owe it to yourself to take advantage of the products and strategies that are readily available that are designed to grow your money in a safe and smart way. I help people every day do just that, and I'd be happy to work with you as well to do just the same. To speak with me directly, call 248-468-4401. That's 248-468-4401.
Advisory services offered through CoreCap Advisors, Inc., a registered investment advisor.
Good afternoon. I'm Al Cresta. Oh, boy. Yeah, it is. I mentioned, the reason I bring up Donald Trump in particular there is simply because he does have the reputation of being a very astute businessman. And so a lot of people immediately think, well, gosh, if he's an astute businessman, that must be that must appeal to people at Goldman Sachs or, you know, any of these large investment firms. The answer is not necessarily. So something to keep in mind. Same thing with you know, you might have a candidate, a pro-life candidate, who you think very high, has very high credit in his public statements regarding the protection of unborn children. But there are a dozen other areas in which you say to yourself, "Good heavens, do I want that in a candidate?" And the answer is, well, maybe not. So, you know, for me, when it comes to voting, I've said this before, I'm not a one-issue voter. However, if a person doesn't have the moral clarity to recognize that protection of human life is fundamental to the use of governmental power, if he doesn't get that, then he's disqualified as a candidate for me. So, you know, if a person's not clearly articulate and able to make the case for defending unborn life, or life at the other end of the spectrum, right, dealing with physician-assisted suicide or euthanasia, if you can't get the life issue right, then for me, and this is my personal position, somebody asked me about this the other day on the air, my personal position is you're disqualified. You're not going to get my support. Don't tell me that you really haven't given it a lot of thought. This is 2015. We've had a whole generation of working through these issues. And if you haven't thought, you know, if you're a candidate in today's political environment and you haven't thought through the life issue, then you don't have any claim on my vote at all. So those are some of the basic rules that I keep in mind when I try to assess candidates. And I do not have, I'll let you know, I do not have a candidate right now. See you tomorrow. Or actually next hour, I'm Al Cresta.
This hour of Cresta in the Afternoon is co-produced by Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
You're listening to Ave Maria Radio. The federal government requires nearly all AM signals to reduce their power at sunset. But now you have choices. Download the Ave Maria app on your smartphone or listen live anywhere online at AveMariaRadio.net. You'll continue to hear Cresta in the Afternoon and other great Catholic programming from Ave Maria Radio.
It may be cold outside, but the deals are hot inside. Hi, I'm Dan Hall from Pinckney Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram. And during the Auto Show bonus days, our payments on the new 2016 Jeep Cherokee and Grand Cherokee have been reduced to as low as $199 per month. These highly decorated 4x4s will get you to work and home safely and in style. Come on in and pick up yours today only at Pinckney Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram or visit us online at PinckneyChrysler.com.
Light of the East, weekends on Ave Maria Radio.
I'm Father Thomas Loya. This week on Ave Maria, with the growing awareness and appreciation of Byzantine iconography, has come certain questions that we will begin to answer, such as, are icons painted or are they written? And can anyone paint an icon?
Saturday evenings at 8:30 and Sunday mornings at 9 on 990 WDEO, Ave Maria Radio.
This is Lavinia Spirito for Catholic Way Bible Study. In the 4th century, catechumens at the Easter Vigil would process to their First Communion chanting Psalm 23. It turns out Psalm 23 is actually a catechesis of the gateway sacraments of baptism, confirmation, and Eucharist. He leads me beside still waters. We emerge